Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this. I've been knocking out bums for four decades. That's right. Knocking out all bums for 40 years. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, so I should know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not the average boxing fan. In fact, now we've got boxing on from pay-per-view to apps. What's going on with that? Straight up, let's talk boxing if you like. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, last night, coming to us from across the pond in Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, of course, the main event. Wow, what can I say? Moses Itama remained undefeated. Didn't take too long to knock out Dillian White. Of course, I talked about him knocking out Dillian White. I said, probably will knock out Dillian White. It'll be impressive if he can do it fast. And he did it fast. That's what it was all about. Because other guys have taken five, six, seven rounds. But if he can get the 36-year-old, 37-year-old old guy out there quick, and he did, that's the way it's done. Less than 2 minutes straight up, a knockout winner, Moses Itama. We'll hear from him a little bit later in today's show. And in hour number two, we're going to go east and bring in Eric Silverstadt, former writer of the New York Times. He's been all around. Bottom line, we'll spend some time with Eric. I call him Eric the Sliver Silverstadt. Straight up, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. The UFC was rocking again last night. Of course, the reason why I mentioned the UFC even more, because looks like Dana White, as we talked about it in the news, set up this new deal with Paramount where they paid $7.7 billion for like combat sports and UFC and that kind of good stuff. And listen, I don't like Dana White. How many times have I said that? Every week? 10, 15, 20 times? But man, you got to give him props. He took something that he paid $1.5 million for. Now, whoa, everybody's saying $1 million. $1.5 million for USC, and he sold it for $4,200 million, $4.2 billion. And now he's worked out some type of deal where they're gonna get $7.7 billion from Paramount to put them on TV. Straight up, Dana White's a genius. I just don't like to admit it. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network. And my stuttering ass throws it to the impeccable one, Mr. Bailey Peck.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
I've got a question for you. Do you want a lower car payment just by making a phone call? You know, most people buy a car and they pay whatever the car dealer says their interest rate is, and they forget about it and make payments. But did you know there is a secret in your contract that allows another company to refinance any car payment to try and lower it? It's true. There is indeed a company out there that knows the ins and, more importantly, the outs on car loans, and they know how to lower your current car payments. It's easy and fast, and you could have a lower car payment next month. Make this free call right now and find out if you could lower your existing car payment. Call the Car Savings Hotline right now. The call is free.
Call now. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. That's 800-605-1680.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
Chicanito! Genaro Hernandez, 38-2-1, 17 KOs. Lost two fights in his life. One to Floyd Mayweather in 1998. Of course, that was his last fight. He was stopped in the eighth round on his feet. And, of course, against Oscar De La Hoya back in 1995 when Shane Mosley was sparring with Genaro like about 10 days before the fight, this million-dollar showdown, right? And somehow he butted Genaro and he cracked his, broke his nose. But the bottom line is Genaro went into that fight with a broken nose. The show must go on. They had to make the money. But then somebody said to me, you know, even if his nose wasn't broken, do you think he was going to beat Oscar? Those were probably two guys that Genaro Hernandez is what probably was going to beat. Bottom line is he was born in 1966, of course, and he died June 7, 2011. He was on this show June 5th, 2011, of course, talking about how tough it would be and how you're going out and this kind of good stuff. It was pretty sad. I really didn't. It was very, very, very sad evening for me, no doubt about that. But last night, wasn't sad, no doubt about that. Of course, talking about the next coming of the heavyweight sensation, Moses Itama. Is he the second coming? I mean, listen, all these guys from the UK that come along, you know, they find a way to flop. Frank Bruno, I mean, I go on and on. Audley Harrison, you know, I mean, somehow they just don't seem to do too well when the big lights are shining on them. Of course, Moses Itama last night had the big light shining on him. And you know what? I'm going to go back to this. If you're stealing pay-per-view, if you stole the fight last night, thank you. Thank you for stealing the fight. Now, why would I say that, being a former policeman? Why would I say go out and steal something? Because they put this fight between a guy that was undefeated. He was only 11-0 or 12-0. Bottom line is he had a handful of fights, a dozen fights, right? He wasn't God yet, and they put him on pay-per-view against a guy that was like 36, 37, going on 90. Come on, man. We knew it was going to happen last night. We knew Dillian White wasn't going to see the 10th round. But the bottom line is, how quick could it be done? And Moses Itama did it in quick style. Of course, got him out there within the first round. But at the end of the day, I mean, you've got to say to yourself, where does this guy go? I mean, there's a lot of people that would like to fight him. Kamayatov, the fighter from Germany, that he liked to handle. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, left hook, right hooks, left hooks. I mean, he just threw a barrage of punches at the 37-year-old veteran. Of course, it was all over real quick. And, you know, at the end of the day, Dillian White semi-complained. But, he knew. We ready to roll with that Moses clip? Bottom line is, let's go hear what Moses had to say post-fight.
Congratulations on the biggest win of your career.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. I'd like to say a big thank you to the Saudi crowd, the English crowd, all the crowd around the world watching this. I appreciate you as well. I love and respect you as well. Second of all, I'd like to thank His Excellency because he made this fight happen. Frank Warren made this fight happen. So Thank you very much. And the final person I'd like to say a thank you to is the body snatcher, Dillian White. If it wasn't for him, it takes two to tango. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to showcase my skills.
You always said throughout the week, if I stick to my game plan, we get this job done.
Yeah, we get this job done, no doubt about that. If we get this job done, he got the job done quick style, no doubt about that. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. You know, the undercard, how can I put this? You know, sometimes a guy gets, He becomes one of your favorite fighters, per se. But he's not favorite because he's really skilled. Maybe he's been wrong. Like Nick Ball was against Ray Vargas a couple of years ago. Of course, they called it a draw. And I thought Nick Ball routed the Mexican champion. It was for the WBC 130-pound title. Okay? But last night, I don't know. I mean, you know, it was a close competitive fight. Sam Goodman brought it. There was no doubt about it. Sam Goodman, of course, down under in Australia. He brought it. He came in with an undefeated record. He was a guy that screwed up two times, had fights with Nanoa Noi, and, of course, got cut two times. Actually, he got cut once, and they put the fight on hold. Then he got cut again, and they said, no, we're going to go somewhere else. And Onoi went in another direction. But the bottom line is he blew two fights there because of the fact that, you know, they're not using proper headgear. I mean, come on. If your guy's getting cut above the eye, you got a problem. Why is he even getting hit in the face before a fight? I mean, you go into training. You don't go into training to get beat up. You go into training to prepare for a fight. You don't prepare for a fight getting all cut and busted up. Anyway, Goodman last night didn't come close on these scorecards. In my mind, it was a 115-113 fight either way. Of course, one judge had a 115-113 for Nick Ball. The other two judges, get this, had a 118-110. 10-2 in rounds. 10-2, and the other guy had it 9-3 in rounds. This fight was real close. I mean, a lot of rounds were nip and tuck, and they were real close, and they might have been somewhat not so easy to score. But the bottom line is, if you're a professional judge, you should be able to do this. This is what they pay you for. This is why you punch the clock. This is why you punch in for. Okay? And if you can't handle who won certain rounds, you know, maybe you don't belong to win the game. But 118, 110, and 117, 111, those are just absolute atrocities, no doubt about that. Now, I do want to mention before we go to a break that the fact that USC, and I mentioned this earlier, that USC and Paramount have signed a 7-year media rights agreement in which Paramount will become the exclusive home of all UFC events in the U.S. starting in 2026. Paramount will exclusively distribute the UFC's full slate of 13 marquee numbered events and 30 fight nights via Paramount Plus, with select events going to be simulcast on CBS. The deal includes Dana White's TKO boxing brand. That kills me. Dana White getting into boxing. Of course, Dana White came to us from East Boston. He was a gym owner back there, a guy that threw a towel over his shoulder, opened up a gym at 10 o'clock in the morning and closed it like 8 o'clock at night. And that was his job. And of course, Whitey Bulger, the renowned Irish gangster, the head of the Irish mob back there in Boston, well, they leaned on Dana. They said, Dana, you got to pay us some money. Dana said, nah, I don't have it. Allegedly, Dana said, they said they wanted like $2,000 a month or something like that. And Dana said, I couldn't give you $20 a month, something like that. He got smarter. You know, allegedly a smarter. That's the way Dana put it. Anyway, bottom line is, they ran Dana out of Boston. Either he got on a bus or he got on a flight, a Southwest flight or whatever it was, and came to Las Vegas. Of course, when he came to Las Vegas, he got on the ground and he was nothing. Nobody knew him. I mean, he wasn't even a renowned trainer in Boston. All he was some schlep that ran a gym. That's about it. He was a guy that, you know, opened the gym and closed the gym. That was it. That was none. Dana had no boxing acumen per se. None. Okay? None. So anyway, he comes to Las Vegas, and he cons Frankie Lorenzo Fertitta, who owned the Palace Casinos. In fact, you ever been to Las Vegas? The Palace and the Station Casinos, I believe, are owned by the Fertittas, or at least they used to. But the bottom line is, these guys are zillionaires. You know, there's millionaires, billionaires, and zillionaires. These guys are like zillionaires, okay? So anyway, they gave him $1 million. He came to him with this idea, let's buy the UFC. Of course, that was from the Brazilians, and of course, it was like $1.5 million. And they bought this for $1.5 million. And then, you know, things started to go bad, and they lost like 30 or 5 or 40 million bucks, and they were really sweating it, this and that, and they wanted to sell for a minimal profit. But the bottom line is, Dana said no, and Dana said no a couple sales as well. I think at one point in time somebody wanted to give him $1 billion for it, and he said no, he's got 10% of the take, and he's got a lot of influence over the Fertittas, no doubt about that. In fact, I think the UFC is Dana White. It's not the Fertittas, it's the Fertittas' money. But it's Dana White doing his thing, of course, you know. And he's not my favorite guy. He's just not. Now he wants to get into the world of boxing. And, of course, a couple of weeks ago, I noticed that he's making a move on the Muhammad Ali Boxing Act of 1996. Of course, Senator John McCain put together this boxing act that was protect professional boxers because he saw that guys were retiring broke and stupid and retarded and CTE and all that kind of good stuff. So John McCain said, you know, the senator from Arizona said, big boxing fan as well. I used to see him at the fights. Anyway, he said he was going to put this bill together to try to protect boxers. So he put it together and it sort of told some of the big name boxers what was happening as far as where the money was and all the money that was involved in a promotion, things like that, which was really good if you were a guy taking notes and you had a good bookkeeper and an accountant, things like that, okay? But then Dana White gets involved, and he says, you know, it's a little bit too restrictive for me. The Muhammad Ali Boxing Act restricts me. In other words, I can't do like things like I want to. Like beyond, he can't pull tricks. Like, he can't pull a curtain in front of you. Dana White can't pull a curtain in front of you. He can in the world of MMA. He tells these guys, he pulls a curtain on him. He says, listen, you either take this fight for this amount of money, or you don't, or you're out, or you're done. If you don't play Dana's game, you're done. And the bottom line is that's why nobody lasts very long in Dana's world, because Dana doesn't want you to last very long. Because if you last very long, he's got to pay you money. Case in point, Brian Ortega. Of course, at one point in time, he was the next Oscar De La Hoya of MMA. He was beautiful. Now he looks like he looks like he's been through the meat grinder a couple of times. Of course, he had the fight with Max Holloway. And, of course, the Holloway fight should have been stopped. He opened a big cut in his head in the first round. And they didn't stop it. He's bleeding like a pig. And he'll never recover from that. He never, ever, ever recovered from that. Had they stopped that in the first round like they should have, because, you know, the blood was, like, unbelievable. It was, it made WWE look like nothing. I'm kidding, as far as the cut was concerned. Anyway, Ortega's bleeding like a pig. He can't fight. He can't see. And they kept, and Max Holloway's kicking his ass, okay? Because Max, you know, Max is a good fighter, no doubt about that. Of course, the current lightweight champion, I think, or the baddest MF champion, something like that, of the UFC. UFC's got some mythical title. But the former featherweight and lightweight champion, Max Holloway, just kicked Brian Ortega's ass to no end. It was, like, unbelievable. And I was sitting there going, like this, going like this. They stopped it. The doctor finally stopped it in the fourth round. And speaking of the doctor, whoever that doctor was, he should have been medically arrested. He should have been arrested for medical incompetence that night, because why didn't you stop it in the first round? It was the same cut in the first round that it was in the fourth round. It just said he bled a lot from that point in the first round to the fourth round. But he was, I mean, come on, man. So what was the difference? There was no difference. In other words, he had taken such an ass whooping. They said, you know what? He's taken such an ass whooping. Probably time to stop the fight. Did Dana wink at the doctor or something like that? Is that the way it went down? Anyway, Ortega's going to fight in the upcoming, in a couple of weeks. He lost his last fight. But at one point in time, he could have been the Oscar De La Hoya, the golden boy of MMA. And everybody knows what Oscar was. I mean, Oscar was the rage of boxing, no doubt about that. And I think Brian Ortega could have done more in the world of MMA had Dana White backed him up than Oscar De La Hoya did in boxing. And, of course, Oscar was a superstar without a doubt. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The collisions that the guys have, and you know, being out of the game now and watching the collisions and the hard work, and you know, some of the players, you know, dying on the field. It's you see the game from a different light. When you're playing, you don't really realize exactly how dangerous it is. And when you get out of it and look at it, you think, wow, you know, get up from that hit, you know, get up from that collision. You don't realize that. You know, football is extremely dangerous game.
What is it that allowed you or any football player then to endure that type of physicality and pain?
You know, you can't really put a finger on anything, any one thing, because you're just one play away. You just have to continue to play hard, keep your feet moving, and you have to be blessed. You have to have a lot of blessing and luck with you.
You know, I think about your dad being a boxer, and I guess the physical kind of pain he had to deal with was almost similar. Was there a similarity to that with what your dad had to deal with in boxing as well, you think?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Boxing, you know, you don't have a helmet on, and, you know, these guys are hitting you in the head, and it's different. You know, you're standing right in front of a guy in boxing, hitting him with no helmet on. In football, you're running. Sometimes you're running 50, 60 yards full speed, and you're just running right into somebody. So, you know, toughness, that part might be similar because you have to be tough. And football is a game that if you're not tough, you know, you'll find out real quick. In boxing, if you're not tough and you got a soft chin, you know, they'll find it.
Ken Norton Jr., former Oakland Raiders, and I think he played for the SF 49ers as well, but he was an Oakland Raiders coach, I think, when that was taped. Of course, he taped that with Ron Barr, the godfather of the network here, and, of course, that was a couple of years ago, but it still comes into play today. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Boxing's a tough game, but football, I think, is much rougher and much tougher. I kid you not, because guys I went to high school with that played high school football, some of them were damaged by high school football, and I didn't realize it. I thought it was just, you know, maybe, because when I would see them, they'd be like on Friday nights, and they drink, and I'd see them after a couple of belts and this and that, and I didn't realize. I thought it was the booze, but no, it was a high school football. I kid you not. It was a high school football, straight up. It is a dangerous sport, no doubt about both boxing and, of course, the NFL, no doubt about that. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, Moses Itama, winner last night. Flip Hajovic, pretty good-looking fighter, no doubt about that. Of course, David Adelaide came in an underdog, but Flip is now 19-1 with 14 KOs. He was stopped, of course, at one time in his one loss, but the bottom line is that was a Daniel Dubois. Daniel Dubois. Speaking of Daniel Dubois, haven't heard too much from him since he got knocked out by Oleg Usyk a fortnight ago, of course. And bottom line is I thought he had a live – listen, you know, you go – how can I put this? You bring what you – what brought you to the dance is what you dance with. In other words, if you've been beating people up and mugging people and knocking people out, that's what you've got to do. You can't all of a sudden become a chess player if you're a checker player. You can't do it. And that's what Daniel Dubois wanted to do. He tried to box with Oleg Usyk. Usyk, of course, Olympic gold medalist, I believe. Of course, undefeated as a cruiserweight, now undefeated as a heavyweight. had that one shaky fight with Dubois, and of course he erased all doubt in that when he annihilated him in the rematch a fortnight ago. But then again, the current heavyweight division, are we looking at Moses Itama as being the future? Of course, last night I talked with Eric Silverstadt in hour number two, of course, the New York Times, former New York Times writer. I think he's high on Moses. I'm high on Moses, but guess what? Moses can't walk around the desert for 30 years. Moses has got to make his move, I think, quick. And if he makes his move and he is the real deal, we've got a couple of years of a good heavyweight champion, maybe. Of course, I thought that about David Price. He was from the UK. He turned out to be one of the it was a bad pick on my part. He was winning fights as an amateur. He was outstanding. He was 6'7". Here's what I can't understand. White, black, blue, or green, if you're 6'7", how in the hell do you lose a fight? I don't get it. Anyway, bottom line is, he didn't only lose one fight as a professional, he lost seven of them, and all seven were by knockout. Talk about David Price. So I've got a bad record when it comes to picking heavyweights from the United Kingdom. Of course, Frank Bruno, a guy that at one point in time was thought to be the next coming of like Henry Cooper. So Henry Cooper going to be the guy that was a good heavyweight, but not quite enough good enough to win the heavyweight title. Of course, he did win a portion of the title, I think the WBC title. Mike Tyson relieved him of that. And speaking of Frank Bruno, he's got some brain damage. Of course, he talks about having been admitted into a mental hospital, things like that. He's talked about that. And, I remember the day after the Tyson fight, we're flying back first class. Pedro only flies first class. Pedro's like the Bundys. Remember the Bundys on Married with Children? Yeah, we don't fly coach. Yeah, bottom line is I don't fly coach too often unless I'm buying the ticket. But if the impeccable one's buying the ticket, it's first class. This way, anyway. Anyway, you have to do that. I mean, think about that. You want to fly big. Bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. When I think of the facts that these guys are taking the blows that they are in the world of boxing, the world of NFL, and the world of college football, and this and that. And of course, college football now is talking about getting a pay scale, and I'm down with that. In fact, I think that all amateur athletes should be paid. If there's some admission, if somebody's making a dollar somewhere, why isn't the athlete making a dollar? I mean, because he takes a beating. As I told you, these guys in high school, Bob R., I'll just leave it to you like that. You see Bob nowadays, Bob stood about 6'4", 6'5", in high school. Well, I mean, he was like killing everybody, but he was hitting his head, okay? And in about a year and a half, 2 years after high school, I saw him again, and his eyes weren't looking right. And when the eyes don't look right to me, I say to myself, something's wrong neurologically. And why do I say that? Because I look at guys like Shane Mosley. Shane Mosley, I talked about this early on in his career after the couple of losses, couple of tough fights. I mean, Shane used to look at you with both eyes straight. Now the last time he looked at me, one eye was off. It was like off center. And it's a little weird. I mean, it is. And you say to yourself, what caused that? Of course, I asked Dr. Flip Pomanski, and the head of the Nevada State Athletic Commission medical board at that point in time, and I asked Dr. Smith Ketchum about that, and they both said to me that's a sign of neurological damage brought on by impact, high impact, bang, 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 getting hit on, of course, both in football and in boxing. Now, why do I say that? I'm a boxer. I boxed when I was a kid, like 9, 10, 11 years old. Of course, I had my first fight when I was 12. And I think I quit when I was 13. My mother found out after a year and six fights that it was over. So anyway, I quit for about a year and a half, 2 years. And I came back in 73, 74, had a fight at two-minute rounds. We were fighting these one-minute rounds. Remember one-minute rounds? If you don't know anything about boxing, when you start off as a kid, you're like weighting 85 pounds or something like that. You have one-minute rounds. Of course, in the real world of boxing, there's three-minute rounds, right? But you have these one-minute rounds. And these one-minute rounds, I could smoke anybody in a one-minute round. I probably could still smoke anybody in a one round. I mean, that was just 1 minute? It was nothing. I wasn't even breathing too hard after 1 minute, all right? So then, after going undefeated in six fights with all these blowouts and this and that, blowing these kids out because they couldn't handle 3 minutes, three one-minute rounds with me, I moved up to 126 pounds, and of course it was my first two-minute fight, right? And after about a minute and a half of the first round, I realized, I'm a little tired here. And then I realized that when I went back and sat down after the first round, I was a little tired. After the second round, I was looking like an asthmatic. You needed to give me an oxygen tank. I kid you not. I mean, this guy jumped Jerry. What's going on here? What's going on with Pedro? Huffing and puffing and this and that. So anyway, I ended up losing the fight to Eddie Smith. That was a big shock to me because I had never lost. I mean, I had never, ever lost. Although Eddie was a little bit more experienced than me, allegedly. I had the Boys Club fights. He had some Boys Club fights in South City. But the bottom line is people thought that he was more experienced than me. And he showed that he was. I mean, he sort of schooled me a little bit in that fight, too. He sort of schooled me a little bit in that fight. The boy, I'll never forget that. 1974. I'll never forget that first loss. No doubt about that. You remember things like that. In fact, I won four Golden Glove titles. won the USPA title, the USPAL title, California PAL title, things like that. But I don't remember any of the wins. Nothing like I remember the losses. I don't know why. I mean, am I just a negative person? Have I got something wrong with me psychologically? I mean, I think about that all the time. So in fact, you know, I dwell on those losses still today. 35, 40, I'm still dwelling on this. I am. I almost said the word. I'm still dwelling on it. I just am. I mean, I can't let it go. I can't let the losses go. The wins, people say to me, yeah, I saw you. Yes, you know, and then I say to myself, yeah, but I also lost in that arena about 6 months later. Things like that. I always think the negative. I have no idea why, but I guess that's just me. You know, at the end of the day, I was lucky and fortunate. Maybe when they do an autopsy on me after I pass away, I'll have chronic traumatic encephalopathy or something like that from boxing. Of course, a lot of guys in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, was it Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Lopez? What was it? Like the guy that the tight end from the New England Patriots that killed a couple of people a few years ago and then killed himself in jail. Bottom line is he had the worst case of CTE they've ever seen as far as autopsies were concerned. And, you know, guys get it. Because I talked to football players. I told you, Mark Gastineau, former of the New York Jets, he turned professional as a boxer. The idea was to get him a fight with George Foreman back in the day. And, of course, we were bringing him along, get him a lot of stiffs. He fought the impeccable one a couple of times. And, you know, the impeccable one laid down for him. And it was sort of cool because we said to yourself, this is a guy that everybody knows because he was a former member of the New York Jets, an outstanding member of the sack exchange. That's what they call Mark Gastineau, one of the greatest pass rushers of all time, at least from the New York era. Anyway, bottom line is, I had him in an interview, and I was talking to him as far as boxing was concerned. It was post-fight, and he ignored me two times. I had to step on his foot to get his attention. That's when I realized that chronic traumatic encephalopathy played a role in football and boxing. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I think boxing is dangerous. Any man being hit in the head, the brain's a delicate thing. I think it should be well protected. If a fella's not qualified, he shouldn't be allowed to fight. But football is proven to have more deaths. Baseball, ice hockey, horse racing, is car racing is much more dangerous. But I would advise nobody to box if they get hit too much and it's too dangerous.
Sticking on the negatives for a little bit. Yeah, you know, this is the way it is. You got to tell it like it is. There are two sides to every coin, the heads and the tails. Of course, this is the tail side as far as boxing is concerned. The term Japanese ring deaths. The reason why I bring that up, of course, because when Japanese fighters, when they fight, they are dedicated to the sport of boxing I've never seen an athlete in my entire, maybe Joe Frazier for the first Muhammad Ali fight. They're just mentally strong. You cannot break them mentally. You can break them physically, but you can't break them mentally. This can't be broken mentally. They just can't do it. I mean, these guys, it's like there's national pride involved. There's family pride involved. If you don't make weight, it's like, if you don't make weight, people like stop talking to you in Japan. That's it. You're done. Habu. Bottom line is, it's like a sin. Of course, this past week now, they've had two deaths take place in Japan on the same card. I kid you not. Of course, I'm talking about Shigetoshi Katari and Hiroshima Yokara died from brain injuries during the same event that was in Tokyo. Of course, these deaths occurred on October 2nd, 2025. And you know, I really don't know I feel for the family, this and that, but there's got to be something with the fact that heavyweights don't seem to get hurt like this, and they get hit a lot harder than these guys do at 112, 118 pounds. But then again, let's see what Mills Lane had to say about that. Of course, I'm talking about the former Washoe County District Attorney and judge up there, Superior Court judge, and of course, my broadcast partner with Let's Get It On Boxing, the referee to stop the Mike Tyson-Holyfield fight, the bite fight, all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, bottom line is, Mills Lane said back in the day before he passed away a few years ago, he says, "I'm not a doctor, but have you ever heard of a heavyweight dying of a subdural hematoma? I haven't, because the fighters that die under those conditions are always the little guys. Featherweights, lightweights, these guys dry these poor kids out, starve them until they can make the weight, then pump them full of water and food after the weigh-in, and under the erroneous impression that they are rebuilding their man's physical strength. What these people are really doing is setting their fighter up for some kind of injury predicated on improper management of weight. The way it is done now is criminal. It's downright criminal. I kid you not. This is Mills Lane. We'll lop off the head of the snake by giving you a lethal quiz. Would you call a trainer that drastically dries out his fighter in order for him to make weight, watches for the safety of his fighter ringside, and the young man fights and subsequently gets pummeled because he's too weak to defend himself, and then suddenly topples to the canvas, lapses into a coma, and then dies the next day? I would call him an accessory to murder. And you know what? There's been a lot of trainers that have done that. All they need to do is get their guy to the ring. Some trainers just don't give a spit. You're a piece of flesh. This is the way it is, okay? And people say to me, "Oh, Pedro, how can you say that?" Well, I've seen it done time and time and time again, and it's just incredibly nasty. And, you know, the Japanese ring deaths that took place last week, I mean, two guys on the same card. Imagine that, two guys on the same card. Again, Shigetoshi Katari and Hiromosa Yuakara. Both these guys died on the same. In other words, you go to a boxing event, and you're watching 10 fights, and two fighters die. I mean, something's wrong. So that's not luck. I think it's the fact that they cut weight too much. I think this cutting weight type of thing. I remember back in the day when I would cut weight to 139 pounds. I never really cut weight. I mean, the last day I would maybe not eat so much, and my mother used to make me these Kool-Aid ice cubes, were pretty cool. But outside of that, I didn't eat that last day. Sometimes I didn't eat the last day to make 139 pounds. But I really thought that I was a little bit lazy, and I probably should have went to 132. And the reason why I say that is when I got the Olympic Training Center, the Western Olympic Trials, and with Vincent Webb and guys like that. Vincent Webb was the guy that beat me, the number 9 guy in the country. But when I realized that he didn't get out of bed for like 3 days. I mean, he was having problems making the weight, and he still kicked my ass. What does that say about me? If this guy is in bed for 3 days and still gets out of bed and kicks my ass, what does that say? But the bottom line is, we went the route, and I realized he was bigger than I was. And then I looked at some of the other guys, 139 pounds, in the upper echelon of the 139-pound division, because I ended up being ranked number 13 that year. There was 12 guys after me that made it the gold medal. I think Jerry Ford ended up, was it Jerry Ford? I think he ended up winning the Olympic gold medal. But the bottom line is, there was 12 guys after me. Of course, the Olympic trials took place after the Western Olympic trials. And that was a little bit scary for me, because when I went down there, I mean, I was just a kid from San Francisco. I mean, I had been traveled a little bit, but the bottom line is not exclusively. And here I was in a place that was cold. I had to get me up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning and run. You know, nobody's too happy about running 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. This is not anyway, especially when it's snowing. I mean, they made you go out there in the snow, but this was part of the breakdown process. In other words, they failed. If you didn't make the sacrifice, you weren't worthy of competing. You weren't worthy of trying. So I was out there running every morning and 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, begrudgingly, and doing my thing and this and that. And then, of course, I had the fight with Vincent Webb. It went 3 rounds. I think I took a standing 8 count in the second or the third round. But bottom line is, I was tired. It was a high-altitude fight. Vincent was better than me, and I'm very fortunate. I'm glad I got in the ring with Vincent. I wanted to beat him. I didn't beat him. In fact, he and I had talked a couple times afterwards. Of course, he ended up going with the Kronk gym. In fact, when Emmanuel Stewart saw the fight between me and Vincent Webb, that was Vincent Webb's last win as an amateur, I think. He lost the next day, and he never ever fought amateur again. But the bottom line is, that was his last win as an amateur over me. So Emmanuel Stewart was looking at this film and saying, you know, he sees me at the Tommy Hearns Iran Barkley fight, when Tommy Hearns lost in 1988 to Barkley, a third round KO at the Las Vegas Hilton. He said, are you the Pedro Fernandez that fought Vincent Webb? And I didn't know Emmanuel Stewart for nothing. He goes, yeah. Well, anyway, bottom line is, that's how I sort of met Emmanuel. But Emmanuel signed Vincent Webb to a contract, a promotional and managerial contract. And I think they went like 9-1. I think he lost one fight, a decision, and then he decided to retire. He's now a member of the about to retire as a member of the St. Louis Fire Department. But back to those ring deaths, you know. I saw Johnny Montanez die in front of me. I saw the kid down there in San Jose die in front of me. I remember the kid in San Jose, when he died, his father said to him before he was all beaten up. And this is another thing, you know, corners and brave trainers are not a good thing in boxing. They're not. Neither are brave referees. You don't want a brave referee. You don't want a brave corner, because you want the fighter to be brave. You want everybody else to be sensible in order to know when to stop a fight and things like that, okay? And this fighter in San Jose, they sent him out there. And it was sad. I remember going to the referee, Hank Alespru, saying, Hank, you need to stop this fight right now. I said, the kid's going to get killed. And Hank told me, he wipes his brow with a handkerchief or a towel. He says, son, go down, go back and sit down. Let me do my job. We'll go out 45 seconds later. He was dead. I mean, that's all there is to it. You know, I mean, you can see when the Grim Reaper is in the room, you know it. I mean, when Art Serrano got knocked out by Roy Jones up there in Reno, Nevada, I was doing that. I think it was the Mancini-Haugen undercard. When he got knocked out, I thought he was dead. His eyes rolled back in his head, and he didn't move for a while. The Grim Reaper, you can sort of tell if you're a fight fan, if you're a real aficionado, and I've been around a long time, did boxing now, I've been to 34 countries, but you can just feel it. You can feel something's about to happen. When Johnny Montanez died in Las Vegas, this and that, something didn't feel right about that. You went there, bad taste in your mouth, this and that, and then when his head bounced off the canvas, you knew he was done. I mean, he just knew it. James Creighton, I think, was the guy that punched him, and James Creighton couldn't punch. Peckleborn punches harder than James Creighton. James Creighton couldn't punch to save his life, yet he killed the guy in the ring because he fell the wrong way. So what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, I've seen these ring deaths, and they leave an impact on you. Was it Johnny Gonzalez when he had a fight with Gabriel Morelos? Of course, that brought on the thing with the referee and Mitch Hopper. Mitch Hopper wouldn't stop the fight. I was telling Mitch later on, I said, Mitch, why didn't you stop the fight? Why didn't you stop the fight? Well, Mitch got pissed off because I said something about him in a column, in my column at Flash Magazine, the boxing trade paper back in the day. And Mitch got all pissed off because I wrote he should have stopped the fight. So, of course, I told you the story before, but me and Mills are coming home from, I take that back, not me and Mills. Me and, we're at Arizona Charlie's in North Las Vegas, okay? And he says, do you need a ride? I said, yeah, I'll take a ride with you. So I took a ride with him, and we're going through the desert, this and that. For some reason, we're out in the middle of the desert. I don't know why. Maybe he's taking a shortcut, this and that. But the dude ends up pulling a gun out from underneath the seat of the car. He says, hey, man, you know, think about this. You know, did you really think I did the wrong thing in that fight. I'm saying, whoa, what's going on here? And he goes, well, I could have done the same thing tonight. At the end of the night, Mitch Halperin, I thought he was going to kill me, okay? And, of course, when I told you, I'll repeat this time and time again, I reported this to the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and nobody did anything. Had they done something that then, had they done something right then and there with his propensity to use guns, maybe he wouldn't have blown his brains out in front of his girlfriend and her lover, like about 2 or 3 weeks later, a couple of months later. I kid you not, that's Mitch Halperin. Of course, the last fight he refereed of note was a 108-pound WBA, 108-pound fight, I think it was with Rosendo Alvarez and some Japanese or Korean fighter. Of course, that was on the undercard there of Evander Holyfield and John Ruiz. It was the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. I called that fight that night with the late Colonel Bob Sheridan. Speaking of Bob Sheridan, somebody said to me, what's up with Colonel Bob? Colonel Bob's been gone now for almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years next month, I believe, of course. And when he passed away, he was a shell of his former self. When I say a shell, I mean a total shell. I kid you not. He had adopted a black family, or a black family had adopted him. These young dudes had adopted. Somehow, he told me, he was telling me on the phone, I've got a family now. And I'm saying to myself, well, he got married. You know what I'm saying? He got married, right? Well, not really. These black guys have sort of moved into his house. Now, I'm not saying they were, because they were a couple of black guys. So they moved in his house. So, you know, and I'm not saying, listen, the colonel was the last guy that had, or he didn't have a racist bone in his body. There's no doubt about it. But when these hustlers are when these guys, where they're perceived, that's where I use, right? Perceived to be hustlers. I don't want to call them hustlers because I don't want to get sued, this and that. But the bottom line is these guys that they thought might have been hustlers moved in with Colonel. And, of course, they lived with him a couple of years. And he gave all his money to them. He left all his money to them. And he paid their bills. He was doing this. He was doing that. So he became their cash cow. And at the end of the day, of course, Colonel Bob Sheridan passed away 2 years ago. He called more fights on TV than any man in history. Any man in history. I kid you not. I think the first fight he ever called was the Rumble in the Jungle. That's right. The fight between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman back in 1974. Don King hired him for that. From that point forward, he televised all of Don King's fights for like 45 years. I kid you not, of course. And then when Don King rode off in the sunset, he got hooked up with Bob Arum, and Bob Arum took care of him for a while. And, of course, he retired, I guess, about 2 or 3 years before his passing. But at the end of the day, Bob Sheridan was a great boxing announcer. People say to me, who do I think was the best? I don't think he was the best. I think he talked the most. He was a very, very, a lot of words came out of his mouth. Sometimes it was word garbage and word salad and that kind of good stuff. But I kid you not, we did one round together. Get this. We did a fight together, as I mentioned, the fight card at the Paris Hotel. And we're doing this fight, right? And he doesn't let me say a word for 3 minutes. For 3 minutes, he bogarts the entire round. Okay, you got a broadcast partner. He didn't even mention me. He never stopped talking for 180 seconds. So after the round, in between rounds, I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, hey, Colonel, you think I could talk maybe in this round? Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Going back in time, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Love children, and many of us have an old car, truck, or van in the driveway. Find the Children has a great way for you to put your unwanted vehicle to good use. Keep listening. Every year, thousands of kids go missing. Trust me, it's a parent's worst nightmare. When a child goes missing, every moment counts, and you need all of the help you can get. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to locating missing children and bringing them home safely. You can help support their mission by donating your car, truck, van, or SUV. A towing company will come and pick up your car for free, running or not, and the donation of your car is tax deductible. Your help is providing the funds they need to continue their services. Call now, donate your old vehicle to Find the Children and get free pickup. Here's the number.
800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. 800-670-7830. That's 800-670-7830.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I thought I would knock him on the early rounds, but like I said, he brings excellent condition and he's determined.
Why didn't you go after him to try to knock him out when you knocked him down early in the third round?
I say, why get callous if I've been training for 2 months?
Here's the knockdown. Describe it to us as you see it.
Well, like I told Jimmy, the 1-2 was going to get him all the time. But I wasn't going to get overexcited and play myself cheap. I said, I'll knock him out early if it happens. If not, if it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself?
No, because I knocked down a lot of fighters that still took my time. I'm just getting seasoned through every fight, and I'm pound for pound, I'm the best fighter pound for pound in the world. Bring him on. Bring him on. Mancini, I don't respect your opinion. Come on, baby. So I can knock you out.
Well, who are some of the
Bernard Williker, you could get some, baby. You could get some too. Brian Booth, Jimmy Paul, Larry Holmes, all your come on with it, baby. Yeah, buddy. Let's hear from you, Larry.
What about Aaron Pryor?
Aaron Pryor, come on with it, baby. I got faith in you. You bounce back. I know you. Come on, baby. Come on with it. It's macho time.
Hexico Macho, 79-6, 38 KOs, never stopped in his entire career. Kijin, of course, passed away on my birthday in 2012 when he was shot in the face. Of course, that was in Puerto Rico. They had some cocaine in the car. He was hanging out with a coke dealer. He had a coke problem. Of course, you and I, we've talked in the past many times about him not wanting to show up to a fight in Carolina, Puerto Rico. I was doing television. I was part of the promotion, the whole nine yards. I was supposed to get like a lot of money when the show was over with, and then they told me like an hour into the show that Camacho's not showing up, that he's all coked out back at the hotel. So I had to go back to the hotel I was in a tuxedo sitting ringside, went back to the hotel, ended up getting him to come and do the fight. Of course, he ended up butting Jorge Vaca in the first round. The fight ended in the second round, technical draw, but at the end of the day, Camacho showed up and I did get paid. Now, as far as his death was concerned in 2012, four or five guys were brought in, and then, of course, some of the witnesses disappeared. Listen, things happen in Puerto Rico. I'm a Puerto Rican, and I'm not a big fan of Puerto Rico. When I was over there, I got to stay in the nicest hotels and penthouses and that kind of good stuff, so I really wasn't exposed to any of the hood, per se, or the ghettos, per se. But the bottom line is, it seemed like it was a little rough over there, and now it's a lot rougher than it was then. In fact, the entire world's a lot rougher. Of course, you can't travel anymore. Somebody said to me the other day, I was thinking about going to Disneyland, and I said to myself, what's the cost to get into Disneyland now? $220 if you want to go to Disneyland. No, if I wanted to go down there by myself, it would cost me $220 to go into Disneyland. I kid you not. $220. I mean, how are they making any money? And they're wondering why there are not too many people there in like Las Vegas. I mean, Vegas, no, I've told you this before. I've been to Vegas four or five times the last year and a half. Nobody's been there. It's just me. I mean, I'm partying by myself almost. I kid you not. The strip is dead. The hotels are dead. The casinos are like dead. You know, they're catering to high rollers now. In the old days, people used to come to Las Vegas, you know, people pay $20, like $5 hands, this and that, and pay $20, maybe win something, get a few free drinks and this and that. You can't get any of that anymore. Corporate America is taking over Las Vegas, taking over the tourism industry. And of course, I think that with the fact that, you know, Canadians were told to stay home and they would make Canada the 51st state and things like that, they don't want to come here. Mexicans don't want to come here for the obvious reason. Of course, they're part of the big Las Vegas tourism business, as with the Canadians, with them and the Mexicans out, Las Vegas is in trouble. Look for a lot of layoffs. Straight up, stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Coming up after the news here on Sports Byline, I'll bring in Eric Silverstadt, the New York Times writer, and more here on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, airing on Sports Byline. Hour number two coming up after the news.
Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Some NFL preseason action as the Seahawks take on the Kansas City Chiefs at home, and the Falcons will face off against the Tennessee Titans today. On the Major League Baseball scoreboard, a few games as the Orioles with an at-home W over the Mariners 5-3. Blue Jays also at-home W against the Cubs 2-1. Guardians win over the Marlins 9-4. Nationals with a big W by 1 over the Phillies 3-2. The Braves get the job done on the road over the Mets, winning 4-3. Tigers mirror that score against the Twins. Tigers out on top, winning 4-3. And the Diamondbacks get an on-the-road W against the Rockies, finishing business 8-2. Still some time until we get to Christmas Day. However, the NBA and the NFL have officially released their schedules. Lots of sports action going on Christmas Day. Cleveland Cavaliers will take on the New York Knicks. The Spurs face off against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Mavericks will play Golden State Warriors. The Houston Rockets will face off against the Los Angeles Lakers. And the Timberwolves will play the Denver Nuggets. On the NFL slate, the Dallas Cowboys will face off against the Washington Commanders. The Detroit Lions will play the Minnesota Vikings. And the Broncos face off against the Kansas City Chiefs. Make sure you go on Instagram and follow at Behind the Sports Show for all your sports content needs. That's your Sports Shorts presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Sports in 60 times 2, I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. Paramount Plus, as we reported at the end of last week, was looking at combining content with NBC's Peacock. But instead, parent Paramount Global, once known as Viacom CBS, struck a shocking deal with the UFC that came together over this past weekend. 7 years at $7.7 billion to start in 2026. All UFC content will be on Paramount Plus, with select marquee fights also on CBS. I'm trying to picture it now. Jim Nance at the Masters, with a fake cardinal chirping in the background, reading the promo for the UFC on CBS Saturday night. The video showing two fighters in the foreground, with Scottie Scheffler reading the seventh green in the background. Dana White, the UFC's CEO, says that pay-per-view, the model the subsidiary employed with ESPN to make bundles of money, is not dead yet. But this corner can tell you the subscriber numbers were diminishing at a decent clip, partly price and a lot because of signal theft. Now for a little over $100 annually, about $25 more than purchasing just one pay-per-view fight on ESPN, UFC fans can get a whole year of UFC content. But know this, CBS is not going to have a UFC Fight of the Week. We'll find out at some point how many fights equals select events. So when the majority of these fights air on Paramount Plus, as opposed to a linear ESPN and ESPN Plus split, are bar owners going to run to their TVs, flip on the Roku, and fire up the Paramount Plus app? I don't think so. It'll be a lot easier just to put on a college basketball or NHL game. This, in a way, reminds me of Major League Soccer heading to Apple, except this is far more important a circuit heading to a streaming world for a much bigger payday, but to a streaming network that is not branded like ESPN and ESPN+. Stay tuned. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Innovative Wellness Center. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Every champion has a team behind them, and for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year, and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is hour number two of Ring Talk live worldwide on Sports Byline, of course, Twitch.tv. Straight up, you're tuned to the insider's look at the world of boxing. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your host. I'm also an award-winning writer and four-time Golden Glove champion, so I should know a little bit about boxing. At least, maybe a little bit. Straight up. Open up the phone lines. You have an opportunity to drop your opinion, if you like, on the toll-free 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. I'm going to go into depth fight by fight over last night's card. And, of course, I'll preview the upcoming card. Of course, I'm talking about September the 12th. Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas, Nevada. Canelo Alvarez. May he rest in peace afterwards. Not dead-wise, but as a boxer-wise. I just want him to go away. I mean, come on, man. The Frito Bandito Act is just getting old. He's been stealing money from people for a long time now. He hasn't fought anybody in a long, since Gennady Golovkin. And that's been like 4 or 5 years ago. I kid you not. He fought that Iranian bum. I don't want to call him an Iranian bum, but he was. He was the number one contender. So my Iranian bum, that was the last number one contender he ever fought. I kid you not. That was like 4 years ago. He skipped Denavide Benavidez. Of course, Paulie Malignaggi, and I agree. It's the biggest duck in the history of boxing. Never before has there been a bigger duck in the history of boxing, when it comes to big-time boxing, the Canelo Alvarez ducking David Benavidez. Of course, Benavidez is going to take on Anthony Yardley, the thrice-beaten light heavyweight, in defense of the WBC light heavyweight title. That goes down in Saudi Arabia on November 22nd. Of course, November 22nd, the day that Kennedy left us involuntarily. Straight up, but Saul Alvarez, 63-2-2, 39 KOs against Terrence Crawford, 41-0, 31 knockouts. Something's got to give here, and I think it's going to be... Well, I'll talk about that after the break. Open phone lines once again, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Eric Silverstadt, the new former New York Times writer, Mr. Ace himself, who'll be here at about 25 minutes past the hour or at 40 minutes past the hour, depending on his schedule. But straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California.
I've got a question for you. Do you want a lower car payment just by making a phone call? You know, most people buy a car and they pay whatever the car dealer says their interest rate is, and they forget about it and make payments. But did you know there is a secret in your contract that allows another company to refinance any car payment to try and lower it? It's true. There is indeed a company out there that knows the ins and, more importantly, the outs on car loans, and they know how to lower your current car payments. It's easy and fast, and you could have a lower car payment next month. Make this free call right now and find out if you could lower your existing car payment. Call the Car Savings Hotline right now. The call is free.
Call now. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. That's 800-605-1680.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Since I have predicted that I'll be the champ at the time I'm 21, well, naturally, everybody's coming to see you win.
And they represent your thinking.
These represent dynamite. There you
go. He will be mine in round 9. And if he makes me sore, I'll cut it to 4.
Thank you very much.
And
thank
if that don't do, we'll get him in 2. If he run, we'll get him in 1. And in your heart, you know I'm right.
If this bum go over 5 rounds, I won't return to the United States for 30 days. That's final.
I walked into London, England. I jumped off the airplane. And Cleopatra was at ringside to witness. Can this Louisville lip come over here and call the exact round again? We don't believe it. The 5th round came.
You know, I may be repeating myself. But I get emotional every time I hear. But the bottom line is, Ali could touch people without touching them physically. I've seen him do it. I kid you not. It was like unbelievable. He could like captivate an entire crowd. It's like he went around and shook everybody's hand. He didn't shake everybody's hand in this crowd, but they felt like he did. There's no doubt about that. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we are 3 weeks away from Seoul. Take that back. Less than 3 weeks away now. 20 days, of course, with 3 weeks last night. But Saul Alvarez, we talked about him a little bit earlier. The Frito Bandito, 63-2-2, 39 KOs. Of course, hasn't fought since Trump. It's been a long time since he fought anybody of note. Of course, I told you, the last fight he had was Gennady Golovkin of note. We'll talk about that in a bit. But Terrence Crawford, 41-0, 31 KOs, been off a lot. I mean, he hasn't had too many fights of late. Of course, he had that last fight, didn't look all that good, and the fight before that. And, you know, I mean, come on, Terrence is sort of like, not look stellar in each fight, but he's still undefeated, 41-0, 31 KOs, of course, and he is a betting underdog to Sue Alvarez. A lot of people think that Alvarez, since he turned professional at 146 pounds, that he's a naturally bigger man, and size matters in two things. That's what I keep saying time in and time out, week in and week out, of course. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, and this is elite combat sports. But I want to bring into the picture the fact that Alvarez is getting old. But then they say, you know, but yeah, okay, he's getting old. But the bottom line is, so is the other guy. Alvarez is 35 and Crawford's 37. So they're both long in the tooth. And think about this. When Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns fought back in 1981, of course, the fight of the year, no doubt about that. They're both undefeated. They were 23 and 20. They were young. 25 and 23, something like that. But these guys are fighting at advanced ages. That's how long it takes them to step up. I mean, Saul Alvarez, as I said, hadn't had a fight in a long time, but Terrence Crawford, 41 and zip. Crawford is a underdog as far as the betting odds are concerned. One of the co-features on the card is one of the WBC interim champions. We talked about that before. Of course, the WBC has a 168-pound champion, but Christian Mobili, I think, is their interim champion. He's 29 and zip. He's taking on a guy by the name of Lester Martinez, who comes in and undefeated 19 fights. Looks like Lester's going to get lit up here. Bottom line is also there's Callum Wallace on the card taking on Fernando Vargas. And this is not this is not the best of the Fernando Vargas is not the best of Fernando Vargas's kids. Fernando Vargas, of course, fought in the 1998 Olympic trials. He was a good fighter, no doubt about that. Of course, he had lost his first fight to Tino Trinidad when he got in some legal trouble down there in San Bernardino, California. And his promoters and his manager decided they had to sacrifice him a little bit early because he was a liability. He just was. I mean, they invested all this money in him. He's getting arrested for beating up people and things like that. So they cashed in. They won the Trinidad fight. It was a little bit too soon, and he got lit up by Trinidad. Of course, I don't think he had the experience, like 17, 18 fights, dealing with a guy named Trinidad who had like 35 or 40. Trinidad was a master, no doubt about that. Of course, the only time he lost was against a bigger guy and Bernard Hopkins. But Fernando Vargas, one of the sons of Fernando Vargas Sr., he is 17 and zip now with 15 KOs. I think the best brother is Emiliano. Emiliano, best son is Emiliano, no doubt about that. But he's taking on Callum Walsh. That's going to be at the Allianz Stadium. Now, listen, Dana White's involved in this card. You know, I applauded Dana White in hour number one and things like that. But this is the best he's got as far as this entire card is concerned. He's putting this on Netflix, I think. It's not going to be on it's going to be on Netflix. It's not going to be on any kind of pay-per-view. Of course, Dana said that pay-per-view is on the way out and things like that. We'll talk about that in a bit. But bottom line is Mobili, 29 and zip, taking on Martinez, 19 and zip. Callum Walsh, 14 and zip, taking off Fernando Vargas, 17 and zip. So it looks impressive there. A lot of O's. There's a lot of O's in those two fights, but I don't know if there's that much talent or ability or entertainment factor there. But the bottom line is Callum Walsh and Fernando Vargas are supposed to hook up in a 10-round fight. Of course, I think it's at 154 pounds, same way his father fought. There's another guy in the card. Of course, you've heard of him, I'm sure. Mohamed Alakal, he's 5 and zip. You've heard him, right? Yeah, he's taking on the guy that's ranked number 761 in the world, and John Arnelis was 5-2-1. That's the card for Netflix. I mean, what are they trying to do? Is Dana White trying to impress you coming out the gate with all kinds of good talent? Because it ain't here. Are they going to show strippers? Has it got strippers going on at halftime or something like that? I mean, there's got to be something else here. There's something I'm missing. It's got to be something. If they expect to fill this entire stadium, like 60,000 people, whatever, they've got to put something on the table other than this Terrence Crawford and Saul Alvarez fight. Because, you know, you've got to have a little bit on the cake besides the candles. You do. There's got to be icing and things like that. And on this cake, there's no icing. It's just Mobili and Martinez in this way. It's a bit of a waste of time, I think, in my point of view. In fact, that's one of those nights maybe where you just want to tune in and watch the main event. And of course, the main event, as I said, Crawford, about a 2-1, 2.5-1 underdog right now, of course. And he's a guy that keeps talking about skills pay the bills. Well, I think he's got the skills to pay the bills. I think he's a better fighter. I think he's a better overall athlete. I think he's in better condition. I think I can go on and on. You know, Saul Alvarez, call him what you want. I can call him all different names I want. The Frito Bandito, of course, the reluctant warrior. I can go on and on. But the Mexican fraud. I mean, come on, man. Bottom line is, you know, he's supposed to be the face of boxing in Mexico. If he's the face of boxing in Mexico, Mexican boxing fans should wear a mask. They should. They should wear a mask. They should. Because this guy hasn't fought. I'll tell you what. I'll go down his record right now for you to show you who he's fought as a fly goes around me here. 63-2, of course. His last fight was against William Skull. Remember that one? God, that was so unmemorable. It was 23 and zip. Skull came in. Of course, that was a 12-round win for Mr. Canelo Alvarez. Scores 115, 113, 116, 112, and 119, 109. Curves to 119, 109, and that was from my friend Dex Denrex over there in the Philippines. But the bottom line is, it was a one-sided fight, no doubt about that. But Skull didn't come to fight, and of course, Canelo Alvarez doesn't know how to cut off a ring. Before that, he was a reluctant one. Edgar Malango came in at 22 and zipped with like 16 knockouts, but, you know, he didn't try. He just didn't try. He went down in round three, and from that point forward, he was gun-shy, didn't try. Jaime Munguia was before that. It was in 2024, May of 2024. Jaime Munguia, the Mexican warrior, came in at 43 and zipped. Problem was, he fought 43 Mexican cab drivers from Tijuana, okay? And, of course, he went down in 12 rounds, and his score was like across the board, 115, 112, 116, 111. And my favorite judge, Tim Cheatham, had it 117, 110. Before that, it was Jermell Charlo. Remember him? The 154-pound Charlo. Not the 160-pound Charlo. The smaller of the two Charlos. They got him to step up two weight classes. He was 35-1-1 at the time. They got him to step up two different weight classes, and he lost to Canelo because he never threw a punch. He just took the money and ran. Scores 119-109. That means 11-1 in rounds. Once, and then, of course, 119-1. Yeah, I mean, listen, it was a route all the way across the board. There's no doubt about that. Charlo didn't even try. Of course, before that, it was John Ryder. Now, word has it that John Ryder could get beat up by the impeccable one. Now, I mean, I'm telling you, John Ryder was a bum. John Ryder retired after this fight. I called John Ryder a bum, but it is what it is. As far as upper echelon boxing is concerned, John Ryder was not part of the upper echelon. He just wasn't. He was just one of those guys from England that was tough, and they threw him in there, and bang, he lost, okay? So he stopped him. It took him 12 rounds. Took Canelo 12 rounds to go, come on, man. I was in front of his Mexican fans. Now, before that, it was the Gennady Golovkin fight. He won with Golovkin on points, 8-4 in rounds, 116-112. My favorite judge, second favorite judge, David Sutherland, had 115-113, and Steve Weissel had 115-113 as well. Of course, that was Gennady Golovkin back in 2022. Before that, 2022, he lost to Dmitry Bivol. Of course, the loss to Bivol was across the board, 115-113, 115-113, and 115-113. All three judges saw it 7-5. Before that, it was Calipari. He stopped him in 11 rounds. Before that, Billy Joe Saunders. And then, of course, the last number one contender he took on, Canelo Alvarez, was in 2021, February 27, 2020. He took on this Hall of Famer. Now, everybody's heard of this guy, Avni Yildirim. Doesn't ring a bell? It should. He was undefeated. I forget, but he was 21-2, but he was the number one ranked WBC contender. The number one contender. The last time he fought anybody that was a number one contender, that was that long ago. I kid you not. So Terrence Crawford, hopefully Terrence Crawford's got enough left in the tank where he can take out Terrence Canelo Alvarez and box his ears for a few rounds, make Canelo get desperate. I think if you make him get desperate, he can make mistakes and he can be stopped. I think he can be stopped to the body, he can be stopped to the body and the head. Now, why do I say that? Because I think Canelo's had a soft run. He's just had a soft run. And he has, listen, you can't have too many soft runs for two or three or four years, have soft runs, and then expect to crank it up to the next level again. You can't do it. You lose it. You don't use it, you lose it. I think Canelo's lost it. I think he lost it a couple of fights ago. In fact, when he comes into fights, and maybe this will be the exception to the rule, but the last few fights he comes in there, he's a little pudgy, a little soft. He's got no cheekbones sticking out of his face. Bottom line is, he didn't do a whole lot to make the weight. At the end of the day, Canelo wasn't trying. He's trying hard for this fight because I think he knows his career is on the line against a guy that's supposedly lighter than him. A super fight? Come on. He should have fought David Benavidez, the greatest duck of all time. Not only myself, but the great Pauly Malignaggi. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9. Dr. Fernandez, outside call on line 9.
You know, Jack Fisk, a.k.a. Jacob Finkelstein, the Hall of Fame writer, 40 years the writer of the San Francisco Chronicle, the boxing writer, of course, award-winning, go on and on. But the bottom line is, he told me one time, never fall in love with a fighter. I said, what do you mean fall in love with a fighter? He goes, as a writer. He goes, never fall in love with a fighter. I said, how come? He goes, because I fell in love with Alexis Arguello one time, and I found out he was a womanizer, and he smoked cigarettes, and he drank, and this and that. I said, that took away. I said, well, come on. You thought he was like a choir boy? Bottom line is, you know, Nick Ball, I sort of fell for Nick Ball because he had that fight a couple years ago with Ray Vargas, of course, with the WBC 130-pound title online. They called it a draw, and Nick Ball, I thought, won that fight going away. Anyway, Nick Ball then was moved over to the WBA. He went from the world of bunko and chicanery, the WBC, to the world of bureaucracy and anarchy. I'm talking about the WBA, of course, and he went over there and he won the WBA 126-pound title. Last night, he defended that title, of course, on the card from Saudi Arabia, of course, topped by Moses Aidama, stopping Dylan White. But the bottom line is, you know, Sam Goodman was across the ring. He came from Australia. They both weighed in at about 125 pounds, 126-pound fight. I've talked about Goodman before, and the fact that his corner blew it not once but twice when they allowed him to get cut the first time in training, postponed a fight with Inoue. Then he got cut again, same cut. Bottom line, it's a stupid move. Why are you doing that? But obviously, they had some amateurs in the corner. A lot of amateurs in boxing, especially in Australia. I had to say, why do I pick on Australians? Because, of course, those are the guys that allowed Tim Zhu to fight against Sebastian Vettori. Remember that? Remember that fight that cut a couple by March of last year? Was it last year? Just last year? Anyway, when Tim Zhu went in there, you know, he was like the star, the stud of the 154-pound division. And then, we had the 6'5" Vettori, the freak that he is, of course. And he got cut by an elbow, Tim Zhu, in the second round, and they should have stopped the fight right then and there because he was unable to continue. Well, they let it continue, and he bled and bled and bled and he bled and he bled. And the bottom line is he never won a round after that. Talk about Tim Zhu. But Tim Zhu's career was done at that point in time. And, of course, Sam Goodman's people, they're from Australia as well, and, of course, they don't seem to know the rules too well because they allowed their guy to get cut two fights wrong. Anyway, last night, I thought Sam Goodman worked the body well of Nick Ball. I thought he outworked him to the body. I thought some of the headshots that Nick Ball threw through where a lot of them were blocked. I didn't see a punch count on last night, but I thought a lot of them were blocked. At the end of the day, I thought the San Goodman either earned a draw or won a decision 115-113. The judges did not agree with me. Surprise, believe it. Surprisingly, the judges didn't agree with me. No, they went like, get this one. Nick Ball is a 115-113 winner, 7-5 in rounds. Another judge by the name of Mikel Masasuda, I think he's from Japan, 118-110. 118-110, 10-2 in rounds? What fight were you watching, Holmes? I mean, are these talking about Federal expressing your scorecard in before the fight? And how about Jose Roberto Torres? Sounds like a Mexican or a Spaniard. Hispanic, obviously. 117-111, 9-3. What fight were you watching? You weren't watching this one. You were not. This is one of the most competitive fights we've seen on TV in a long, long time as my phone dings. Why is my phone dinging? But the bottom line is it is. And, you know, I mean, it was one of the most competitive fights you've seen in a long, long time. And what happens? They give it to him going away. I mean, I'm not having a problem with him winning 115-113. I thought it was 115-113 the other way, but I can be off around. I mean, I make mistakes. There's nothing about that. But I thought Sam Goodwin's continued presence to the body, continued effective blows to the body, both the right hand and the left hook. He just kept going and going and going and going. And, you know, of course, Nick Ball, I mean, the announcers, they must have been part of Nick Ball's management team because they were blowing him like they were Nick Ball cheerleaders. Everything Nick Ball did was great. I mean, even when he missed, it was great. I kid you not. So they were obviously he was a hometown guy last night. He was a house guy. These British boxing announcers, and they were blowing him left and right. I didn't dig it. I thought the fight could have went the other way, 115-113. But again, I don't have a problem with them giving it to Nick Ball 115-113. But when you have scores like 10-2 in rounds in a highly competitive fight, and 9-3 in rounds in a highly competitive fight, that tells me something is wrong. Something is definitely wrong in the sport of boxing. If these guys could have saw this fight at 10-2 round, with this guy, Michelle, bottom line is M-I-C-H-E-L, Makasuta, M-A-K-S-I-U-T-A. It sounds Japanese to me, 118-110. But the bottom line is to score a fight 10-2 in rounds, a fight that was scored close, bottom line is you shouldn't be scoring. And this guy's not from Japan. I kid you not. The Japanese fighters, Japanese people around the world, jump on Pedro for that one. I blamed you guys for this one. It's not your blame. He's from Belgium. He should be banned. He's from Belgium. No more. Sorry, pal. Go back there. Take your tuxedo look. Go back to Belgium. But after that score, you don't belong in the upper echelon of boxing. See, somebody flew him in from Belgium to Saudi Arabia. And all these guys are considering these trips to Saudi Arabia. We'll hear from Moses Itam a little bit later when I bring in Eric Silverstadt. But, you know, they're blowing the Saudi Arabians over there. The Sheikh. In fact, when the Sheikh was, when Hamas Shiraz was being interviewed last night, of course, he was the guy that lumped up Berlanga a few weeks ago. But the bottom line is, when they were interviewing him, that Sheikh guy, Sheikh Turkey Jerky, right? He was on the phone looking at the camera, walking around the camera behind this, doing it. I mean, he's the most insecure, camera-hungry guy I've ever seen in my life. And he's in control of boxing. He's calling the shots in boxing. Boxing's in trouble, man. Boxing's in deep, deep trouble. They are. Raymond Ford was a winner on the same card, of course, at 130 pounds, taking on Abraham Nova. That was a unanimous decision in 10 rounds. Now Ford moves to 17-1, and Nova drops to 24-3. Flip Hogovic, the heavyweight. I talked about it a little earlier, beat David Adelaide. Adelaide didn't try. I don't know if Adelaide was up, man. 240 pounds. He came in at 14-1, left at 14-2. But the bottom line is, I have never seen a guy not try. I mean, not even, he went 10 rounds. He didn't try. He didn't try. Scores were like wide, but he didn't even try. I didn't think. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, he should be arrested for impersonating a professional fighter. Of course, the other fighters on the card, not too much to talk about. This really isn't. But back to that Nick Ball thing. I mean, they made such a big thing about Nick Ball. I was thinking to myself, they're calling him the next second coming of Mike Tyson, all things like that. I mean, really, man, you are really, really pushing it if you're calling him the second coming of Mike Tyson. I mean, come on. I couldn't figure it out because I was a Nick Ball fan. I sort of fell for Nick Ball because he got wronged in that fight. But outside of that, you really don't want – I mean, come on. Last night, 10-2, no way, no how. Best fighters pound for pound of boxing. You know about that? The 30 in Zip, the Japanese fighter, of course, in Illinois, 122-pound champion, no doubt about that. He is the best. I think he's head and shoulders ahead of the others, except – the next guy on the list, believe it or not, in the pound-for-pound list, in my mind, is the Japanese fighter Junto Nakatani. He's ranked number 2 in my mind. Of course, he's the bantamweight champion. He's 31 in Zip with, like, 23 knockouts. He can punch for 118 pounds. He can, of course. Nanoa Inoue is a big puncher. Almost all knockouts in his title offenses, they all have been knockouts. There have been no nobody going the route with him. But 122 pounds, I think he won the title first, so 115, 118, now it's 122, of course. And he's slated to move up to 126 eventually. But the super fight in Japan, the one I would like to go over, the one I would hope the Impeccable One would break out his private jet and fly me over. Listen, for the record, the Impeccable One bought Bruno Mars' old jet. Anyway, I want him to fly me to Japan. The Noenoi, of course, and Hunsou Nakatani when they hook it up. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. The only one that's not talking about this fight in Japan is Inoue. He's the only one not talking about it. I kid you not, and I don't know why. But the bottom line is, the rest of this list, as far as the pound-for-pound guys are concerned, which committed Dmitry Bivol doesn't do a whole lot for me. He doesn't. Yeah, he beat Artur Bitaev, but Bitaev was like 95 going on 100. Of course, Jaron Ennis, I mean, is boxing that bad? That Jaron Ennis got to be ranked number 6 by the computer at BoxRec.com as far as the pound-for-pound fighters are concerned. The guy from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that fights nothing like the guys from Philadelphia. And the guy, the aforementioned Artur Bitaev, is now ranked number 7, according to BoxRec.com at light heavyweight, 21-1, 40 years old. Wink, wink, 40 years old. Of course, the number 8 guy is, I think, the number 1 guy. I'm talking about 30-0, 25, 26 knockouts. Talk about the 28-year-old champion, David Benavidez. 168-pound guy, Canelo ran for him. 175-pound guy, Canelo ran for him. There's no doubt about it. Dmitry Bivol ran for him. Dmitry Bivol stated that he didn't want to fight him because he had other things. He wanted to go back and do another fight with Artur Bitaev. And now the WBO. The WBO. Remember them, the Puerto Ricans, There were 3 or 4 disgruntled Puerto Ricans with the WBA decided they would get out of the WBA and start their own gig. Kid you not. So they called it the WBO. Anyway, bottom line is Dmitry Bivol has learned that the WBO has requested paperwork. The WBO has publicly issued an order to him that he has got to come up with a medical test proving he's injured. Of course, he said he had some shoulder injuries, he was going to get surgery, he was going to do this, he was going to do that. But the bottom line, I thought he was just wiggling his way out of things in order to get another fight with Bitaev. Pound for pound, he's up there, but he does nothing for me. I almost have to take Viagra to watch Dmitry Bivol fight. I kid you not, he doesn't go. As far as the rest of the top 10 pound-for-pound guys are concerned, Shakur Stevenson, oh my God, what a bore. I don't care if he looked good in that last fight or not. Jaron Ennis has said once at number 6 is a disgrace. Number 10 is really the star. I'm talking about Bam Rodriguez, 22-0, 15, 16 knockouts, 115 pounds. That's the only problem with him. He's fighting at such a lightweight. There ain't too many competitive guys down there, so probably looking at him to step up to 122 pounds and eventually meet the winner of the Hunsou Nakatani and the Noenoi fight. That would be the super fight. Of course, number 11 is Devin Haney. I can't believe they still have him. Number 32, he's 32-0. He's undefeated, even though he got beat by Ryan Garcia. Like, oh, Ryan Garcia tested positive for Flintstone vitamins. That's what they said, right? Yeah, Flintstone vitamins wasn't the difference in that fight. It was the fact that Brian got to come in almost four pounds overweight because he didn't make the 140-pound limit, and you know, he paid a fine for that. But he was willing to pay the fine because of the fact that, you know, he was getting over on Haney, you know, about that. And the guy is number 12, the world heavyweight champion, 24-0, Oleg Usyk. I don't know. Oleg doesn't do it for me. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Worldwide. Coming up, the man I call the Silver Sliver. I'm talking about Eric Silverstar, former of the New York Times, coming up on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue, less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Forty minutes past the hour, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, coming from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California, celebrating 41 years of radio. Next month will be our 41st year as far as being on the radio is concerned. It's hard to believe radio still exists because not a whole lot of people listen anymore, but they listen online through iHeart, through all the different apps. Of course, we are live on sportsbyline.com 24/7. This is Ring Talk. As I said, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. We take it to the Big Apple or take it back. Let's go to the East Coast and bring in, of course, the former writer of the New York Times and wrote for a lot of people, won a lot of awards, Mr. Eric Silverstadt. And Eric, how's life treating you?
Can you hear me?
Oh, man. Are we going to go through this again, Eric?
Pedro, man, I'm ready to get rock. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's talk about you talked to me a little bit earlier, and then we talked just briefly. Of course, you think that Moses Aitama is the heir apparent to greatness in the heavyweight division. Tell me why.
I saw the way he conducted himself before the fight. And he's very poised. And I saw his previous fight, and even though it's 12 fights, he's a young guy with his eyes on the prize.
Is Oleg Usyk a heavyweight champion because there isn't a real... going to put this a real competitive heavyweight division right now, or is he that good?
I think he's great for his generation. I don't know what Ernie Shavis would do to him, but the kid last night said he doesn't want to fight Usyk right now, you know, which I thought was a sign of respect.
But it's a smart move. Why Papa? This isn't a young Cassius Clay popping off for Sonny Liston. I mean, listen, they had the audacity. Whoever promoted that thing last night, that Sheik Turkey Jerky, the guy that I don't like, the guy that walks around in a dress. Oh, I'm sorry. But the bottom line is, you know, it's a white dress. But anyway, he charged. That fight was on pay-per-view last night. You're putting a rookie who's ranked like number 50 in the world and against a guy that's lost three times and Dillian White, you're going to put that on pay-per-view? What kind of smack is that? Take that back. What kind of bull spit is that? When I say spit on the show, I mean spit with an H.
Hey, it was Frank Warren and the Saudis, and they got a cash cow. So why interrupt the flow?
But they didn't make any much cash here. Believe me, they didn't do well here in the United States. That card, come on, man. There's nothing on that card. You need to, if you weren't a boxing freak, you need a Viagra to watch that one.
Hey, no, Pedro. It was fight lasted what, 98 seconds?
If
so
that.
The audience was not, it's not the U.S., it's the U.K. You know, that's the next guy. So I think that the boxing in U.K. is much more interesting here because these guys actually rumble every 2 weeks. And even though I hate Eddie Hearn. And I can
follow. Wait. Time out. Eddie Hearn's one. Listen, if I had a guy working with me and I invested my money in a guy, it'd have to be Eddie Hearn. You know why? He's the only guy I know that could lose $1 billion and still be in business. 1 billion. That's 1,000 million.
Listen, him and Frank Warren control boxing in the UK, which means they're part of Saudi Arabia. And the bottom line is this. Saudi Arabia was a colony of Britain, and they squeezed it for all the oil money. Now Saudi Arabia is calling the shots.
Man, but the Sheik Turkey Jerky, I don't know, man. I don't think he's really good for boxing. He's brought in Dana White. Dana White's trying to dismantle the Muhammad Ali Professional Boxing Act in 1996. And I will take that back. A guy that I talked to more than once, talk about Senator John McCain, he was the author.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I mean, Dana White, Hulk Hogan, it's all UFC.
Hey, speaking of Hulk Hogan, if he died of natural causes, why did he have to give him Narcon twice? No, that's not something to laugh about, Eric. I'm asking you as a former journalist with the New York Times, I'm asking you a serious question. Now, if the guy died of natural causes and this and that, why did they have to give him Narcon twice?
Because he didn't live a serious life. He wasn't Johnny Boz, all right? He was a scam artist for the last 40 years. It's entertainment. It's not sport.
You and I agree 200%. Me and him rumbled in 1990. Was it 1992 Impeccable One? I think it was at maybe 92, 91, something like the Alex Stewart, George Foreman fight in Las Vegas. He showed up at a press conference when he was front page news all over the front, when there was newspapers back in the day. He was front page news for admitting that he took steroids under the guidance of Vince McMahon and things like that. So when I went to him at this post-fight press conference, hey, man, let's talk about the steroids, Mr. Belay. I called him Terry Belay. That pissed him off to begin with. That pissed him off. He's like, ah. Anyway, he runs from me. I got this 300-pound guy in his prime running from me. I kid you not. So I chase him around the Thomas and Mack Center, the press conference area. I chase him around. I finally corner him one more time, and he gets Dina DeBuff, the top-ranked publicist, Bob Arum's stepdaughter. He gets her to defend him. She goes, "Why are you asking him questions?" I said, "Because he's at a press conference, and he's front page news." And this and that. And then I looked at him. I got the best parting shot in a Hulk Hogan you ever match. I said, "You know, you're a 300-pound tough guy, and you got a 110-pound chick protecting you."
Dina DeBuff, that's Todd's wife?
No, it's Todd's sister.
I'm not going to comment on that.
No, you don't have to. But here's what's
Hulk
up.
Hulk Hogan that Trump's, at the convention. He never lived an honest life. If Jesse the Body Ventura, the Minnesota governor, Navy SEAL, got into the ring without any steroids, without any, just a straight, "I'm going to kill you," Jesse Body Ventura, his legacy would be impressive. Hulk Hogan has always been a slime ball. Even when I was watching boxing 40 years ago, my guy was Randy, Macho Man Savage.
You mean wrestling? Yeah, but here's what's up. Hogan couldn't wrestle, man. He couldn't know a leg lock from a he wouldn't know a leg lock from a padlock.
And now he knows the permanent padlock.
Well, I don't know. It was a little shady to talk about. They didn't give him an autopsy per se. They prepared him for burial without giving him an autopsy. And the doctor said he died of natural causes. But the Narcon being administered to him twice before he died, that reeks of some opiates. I mean, they don't give you Narcon because you don't get high on Narcon. You get low off Narcon. It takes you off the high.
Right. So you're saying that he was on opiates?
No, I'm saying that I'm asking the question. Why was he taking Narcan twice? I mean,
Narcan's for heroin, but heroin, you know, he's not on heroin, but he was on opiates.
Well, you know, here's what's up. You know, speaking of drugs, you know, I drove through the city of San Francisco, and there's plenty of guys laying in the street, chicks laying in the street, this and that. They're bent on fentanyl. I call it the fent bent. But they're taking this fentanyl. And, you know, I was a cop in the 80s when crack first came into existence. In fact, we made an arrest after a 49er game of these guys in a camper truck out near Candlestick Park, and they were smoking this white substance. And I said to myself, PCP. Right, so I wrote on the police report, suspected PCP. Well, 3 or 4 days later, the chemist comes back to me and says, no, it ain't PCP, it's smokable crack cocaine. Smokable cocaine, they didn't call it crack at that point. It was smokable cocaine. Anyway, these guys got hooked on that, and I've seen guys come back from Vietnam, they were hooked on heroin, but they were able to kick that. I've seen guys kick crack, I've seen guys kick heroin, this and that, but I haven't seen anybody kick fentanyl or methamphetamine. They don't kick it. Those are designer drugs designed to keep you hooked forever, and the only option you have is to die.
I grew up in Brooklyn, and I've tried just about everything. Just about everything. But back day, it was legit. I'd be scared to death to go near anything that is not doctor prescribed.
I buy my marijuana from two guys. I mean, that's the only drug that I do. I don't drink or nothing like that, but I smoke my share of weed. But I buy it from two different guys, and they're like good growers and that kind of good stuff. I know what time it is, and you know, I appreciate them. They're professionals at what they do. You got to go with a pro. So let's go back to the sport of boxing. You think Oleg Usyk? I mean, the best of his generation, Ernie Shavers. Don't you think Ernie would have probably just cornered him and walked him down?
I mean,
you got nothing. With Usyk, I hate to interrupt you, but with Usyk, you ain't got a whole lot to be scared of as far as his offense is concerned.
You know, it would be a great fight, Usyk against Bob Foster.
Ooh, Bob Foster. Hey, let me tell you a little story about Bob Foster. Bob Foster and Archie Moore were at the International Boxing Hall of Fame, right? So Bob Foster always used to have a couple of beers. In fact, I think I've got a tape of him somewhere around here where he says, it was always good to have a beer after training this and that. And he said that he was a super middleweight. He would have made super middleweight had they had 168 back in the day, but he was a light heavyweight, 175 pounds, but he was light. He used to weigh 168, 170. So Archie Moore was in the other room. So I said to him, hey, Bob, Archie's in the other room. I said, well, what would happen if you and Archie Moore ever fought? He goes, man, Archie Moore couldn't hit me in the ass with a ping pong paddle. He goes, no, a tennis racket. So, you know, me being the instigator that I am, Poison Pen Pedro, writing for the boxing trade paper, slash, and that kind of good stuff, I go in the other room, and I see Archie Moore. And what do I say? Guess what, Archie? Bob Foster said you could hit him in the ass with a ping-pong paddle. No. He corrected himself and said it was a tennis racket, right? So Archie Moore starts taking off his cufflinks. I'm thinking, what the fuck? You know, I'm not thinking that. For that. Takes off his cufflinks, puts them in his pocket, this and that. Takes off his coat, takes off his tie, this and that. He's getting ready to fight. Okay, I'm serious. He's getting ready to fight. So I'm thinking to myself, whoa, was I too honest? Did I bite off too much? Is this guy punch drunk? He's going to do something crazy? This thing? So I go, Archie, I was just kidding. And he went to make a motion to grab at me, and I stepped back, okay, and said, whoa, that was Archie Moore then. And then in 1993, when Holyfield was going to fight George Foreman in Atlantic City, I had Foreman and Archie Moore for a pay-per-view. I had a four-minute window in a pay-per-view thing. They gave me the cameras. It was 4 minutes from the Richmond Auditorium. That's all it was. It was going to some TV show like in Atlantic City, but they were shooting it from here. So anyway, it was 4 minutes. Boom. It was no longer, no shorter. It was 4 minutes. So George Foreman took up 3 minutes and 25 seconds. It was supposed to be like 2.5 minutes of George and like 2 minutes maybe of Archie Moore. So Archie Moore got pissed off, and when I said, oh, sorry, didn't have the time to go to Archie Moore, the old mongoose, but we're out of here, or something like that, you know, from Richmond, California, this is Pedro Fernandez. And once I went off the air and the lights went dark, he got up and got in my face. His nose was about a half inch away from my nose. He was ready to fire on me. This is Archie Moore. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the old mongoose, he probably had CTE when he went because he was a little off.
You know, it's I'll say this, that boxing, of course, is not what it used to be. And
Why do you say that? Why do you say that? Explain it. And make and don't do this in your heroin voice. Tell me why.
No, it's not heroin. I had a cup of coffee.
I'm giving you a bad time. You know that.
I know. You got nothing else to do. But listen, so the boxing to me is still interesting. But to the general public, it's UFC. It's Trump on the White Lawn, on the White House lawn for July 4th. It's Dana White. It's Hulk Hogan. You go down the list. It's entertainment. You know, and UFC's always been, when I lived in L.A., I used to watch it out of Mexico. It was always like cockfighting in a cage. And but it's worth $4 billion. So,
No. It's worth $7.7 billion. They just signed a Paramount deal, a TV deal with Paramount Pictures. They're going to do something on Paramount Plus, I guess some new app or something like that. They signed a seven-year deal for $7.7 billion.
Right, but the thing is, the real story is, UFC is not owned by Paramount. It's owned by Endeavor, William Morris. So, and you know what Paramount, that was my first job in a movie, but it was Paramount. You know what Paramount's doing right now with Trump, and things will change. Something's going to happen.
All right. Bottom line is, I got to run because my producer's looking at me with this dirty look, saying it's 54 and a half minutes past hour. You're supposed to be out of this at 53. Much respect. I hope to get you on soon. I thank you so much for your time, Eric. Eric, you got a website going on right now?
Yes. www.inkslinger. inkslingernyc.com.
Inkslinger NYC. Straight up. We thank you so much for your time. Have a great week. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More after the break.
As bad as we think they are, these will become the good old days for our children. But why don't we try to remember?
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Okay, the house historian Frank, 1961, checked in late. He says it's 95 degrees where he's at. He's doing backyard work. Bottom line is you need to hire somebody to do your work. August 15, 1966, so Jose Torres beat Eddie Cotton. Eddie Cotton by a 15-round decision. Eddie Cotton was a referee for the Lennox Lewis Mike Tyson fight. I thought he blew it. I thought he choked in that fight, but he was a good guy. He died of COVID a couple of years ago. August 19, 1995, Mike Tyson made his highly anticipated return to the ring after a three-year prison sentence for allegedly raping Desiree Washington, which I thought was mutual sex. Anyway, he faced Peter McNeely. Of course, Peter McNeely was a son of Roy Cut and Shoot McNeely, I think that was his name. Of course, his father challenged, I think, Floyd Patterson for the World Heavyweight Championship. The fight at the MGM Grand lasted 89 seconds. And I remember seeing Pamela Anderson afterwards. And I'm saying to myself, who's that crack-ho standing next to Mike Tyson? Who is that crack-ho? I'm saying to myself, how did that broad even get close to Mike Tyson? Turned out it was Pamela Anderson. I kid you not. I'm going to say, I didn't think she was hot. Straight up, you've been listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The Impeccable One has put up with me for 2 hours. I'm talking about Bailey Peck. I thank him so much. And I thank you for staying tuned to the Ring Talk Live Worldwide. As I stutter and stammer straight up, next week, 11 a.m. Pacific time, Saturday and Sunday, live here on Sports Byline and these same channels. Thank you for tuning in on Twitch.tv as well. Ring Talk is a production of Sports Byline.